Blog Talk Radio.
This is a program for all America.
No pressure on that new open, I don't think. Hey, it is the Amy Beth Arkwee Show. Thank you so much for stopping by. We're weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. Hope you had a great weekend. Kind of a mixed bag here in New York, especially for those of us who are Mets fans, as the Mets dropped 3 to the Nationals after they won that first game 11-0. Oh, now they're headed to Florida. Let's hope they don't bottom out completely against the Marlins. We'll see what happens. And, of course, Anthony Weiner still in the race, despite his campaign manager taking a hike. We'll talk more about that later. We also have the celebrity scoops, what's happening in Hollywood, from Amanda Bynes to George Clooney, maybe a snooze in the bedroom. Really? Say it isn't so, girls. And Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, they may be, well, not getting back together, but meeting for the first time in years. All the details coming up from Kate Meehan. She is the senior writer for CelebDirtyLaundry.com. That's all coming up. Hey, it's our Monday Coffee Clatch edition. We haven't done one of these in a while. We've had so many serious shows, so I know you love this kind of show. Call in 347-857-4505. You'll get into the mix. We're calling this one the Royal Pop Culture Convo because we're going to celebrate Prince of Cambridge, officially known now as Prince George Alexander Louis. Prince of Cambridge, his birth last week. Everybody was all aflutter over that. And we have an expert on the subject talking about his future. She's done his chart, his astrology chart. I'm talking about noted astrologer Janet Booth. Janet, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Amy Beth.
Pleasure. Now, let me ask you this. I know you do these charts. They're in-depth charts. So were you waiting with bated breath for when this birth was going to happen and get all your materials ready to roll? And tell us a little bit about how long it took you to get this chart done.
Oh, well, I was actually waiting before he was born for days trying to figure out what day I thought he would be born. And, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I should have known he was just going to squeak in as a Cancer sun sign because his father is a Cancer sun sign. His mother is a Cancer moon sign. You know, we can all have multiple signs. Most people just think they have the one sign, which is the one they know comes from that time frame of, you know, the month or so that they're born. But we have like a whole solar system of planets going on when we're born. And the you can have moon in a different sign than your sun sign. You can have, you know, Mercury, Venus, Mars, all in a variety of signs. So when his father was born, it was a new moon, which means the sun and the moon are in the same sign. And so he's a double Cancer. But when his mother was born, she was born at a full moon with in the wintertime. Her sun was in the sign of Capricorn, and her moon is in the sign of Cancer. So here he is born at a full moon with his sun in the sign of Cancer and his moon in the sign of Capricorn. Well, moon oftentimes represents the mother in a baby or in a person's chart. And so not surprising to find him have his moon sign Capricorn be his mother's sun sign.
Okay. Now, what does this say about his relationship to his parents? Are they going to mesh well or not so much?
Oh, very much so. You know, I read one other astrologer was saying something about didn't think he would get along. Well, not that he wouldn't get along with his mother, but that she might be kind of on the cold side. They're just reading that straight from Capricorn is generally considered a little bit cold-shouldered. But when you look at her, she's so warm and tender, and the father is going to be very much of a nurturing force. I mean, you could see him when they took the baby home from the hospital. He got right in the driver's seat. You know, he's going to be a hands-on father.
It's interesting. It's also interesting to note that today was the day, back in 1981, that Prince Charles and Princess Diana were married. I remember that as a kid, watching that on TV. It was televised.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What about you don't do the names, the numerology and all that, if the names
don't. No, I don't do the names, but you know, it's funny too. Once I saw the time he was born and I started doing the chart and I tried to look at, well, what makes this person different from anybody else born on the same day as he is? Because we narrow it down to that minute of birth. And why this is important is because, you know, the earth turns around on its axis every 24 hours. So for about average of 2 hours each day, the sun is, not sorry, a different sign is rising over the eastern horizon, and that's what kind of defines you. It's sort of like how you're dawning or being, you know, presented to the world. So for about 5 minutes, you get maybe 4 to 5 minutes, one particular degree of the zodiac rises over the horizon. So I was trying to see, is, are some of the other planets sort of plugging into that point of his chart? And the planets that plugged into it strongly indicated it could be on the nice side, genius, very high intelligence, or maybe a proclivity towards history and science and things like that. But on the low side, this particular combination can indicate speech difficulties. And I thought about how the speech impediment, and I thought, which one was that from the King's speech? So I looked it up. George VI, who was actually the father of Elizabeth, which would make it this baby's great-great-grandfather. And I thought, oh, wow, I wonder if he's going to stutter like the great-great-grandfather did.
And he was named after him. That's interesting, right?
Yes, and then they named him after him. Yes, that was the point I was trying to get to, Amy Beth. Thank you.
Okay. Happy to help. Happy to oblige.
Yes.
But,
so
okay,
that'll
so,
be interesting. I mean, there could be other ways that that expresses. It may be, you know, difficulty with technological things or a tendency to blurt things out. But, well, we'll see how it ends
well,
up
that
expressing.
Could be interesting. That could be interesting. Well,
oh,
of
yeah.
course, you know, nowadays, if he does have a speech impediment, they can deal with that much more easily than they could all those years ago, I think. They'll be able to identify it sooner and address it.
So, oh, yes, I'm sure.
What yep. is, so when you do the chart, you do sort of take into account the parents and the monarchy. I mean, does this have anything to say about what the future of the monarchy will be, his future? It doesn't look like George is going to, I mean, Charles, rather, is going to be king anytime soon, if ever.
Well, I wonder if his mother will ever make him the king because, you know, he had that sort of, you know, affair and some things that were a little bit on the, you know, tarnished side.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if she's allowed to just, like, skip over him and, like, give the crown right to William.
No. She's not allowed to, but I don't think she will give it to him, not because of the scandals, but because she says she's going to stay till for life. She made that speech when she was anointed or inaugurated, however they phrase it. And
coronated.
Coronated, yeah, that's right. Thank you. So she definitely said that she's not going to takes that seriously. So I think Charles was hoping, like the King of Belgium just turned over the crown to his son. You know, I think he was like, trying to hope that would help, but I just don't think so. Maybe he's resigned to the fact that it's not going to happen. And of course, her mother lived to 101. She's 87 now.
Right. So you think she
happen.
May outlive her son?
Well, I don't know if she'll outlive him, but she will. He'll be very old when he goes.
Yeah, but if he lives a long time like she and her mother did, you know, it could be a long time before William gets the crown. It could be forever
That's
before
true.
This kid gets the crown. They said this kid,
exactly.
if he ascends to the throne, could be ruling in the 22nd century. You and I will be gone. Well, I'll be gone. I don't know
That's
about you.
That's a long
you.
Time. 22nd century. That's a long time, though.
That's a long time.
That's a long
time.
Ways off.
Right.
Pretty old.
Yep, but. You know, speaking of things that looking across a long swath of time, one of the things I went searching for, Amy Beth, was to see how frequently a particular pattern came up that he was born with. And it's actually slow planets that are in effect for a few weeks at least. And anybody can make use of this energy, and I'll talk about it in a moment. But slow-moving Neptune and Saturn have moved a third of the sky apart. And Jupiter, which is a little bit quicker, has come in to make an equilateral triangle around the zodiac. It's called a grand trine, and it's considered the best configuration that the planets can be in. So I wanted to see when were these three planets in a similar triangle. I looked back 200 years. I looked ahead 200 years. There was never another occurrence that was so close to exact in time and in degree as what we are having right now. So the closest things were something in 1928, something in 1966, and the next one is in 2192. Maybe William will still be around. Doubt it. Nah. No, not even. I'm sorry. Not even young George will be around then. So this is like extremely rare, and he's born with this configuration in his chart, as are many other babies around now, including a whole lot of babies who are being born 9 months after Sandy.
All right, yes. So what does
right.
that say? Being born
okay.
into this, what is,
so
what does
that say? Neptune has to do with vision, dream, you know, what we can kind of hope for and come up with in our imagination. Saturn is about giving form to things. It's a manifestation planet and about planning. So it says manifest your dreams. And when Jupiter joins with them, Jupiter, the biggest planet, expands everything. So it says manifest your dreams in a big way now. So this should be a happy occurrence for England or UK getting their new prince. And also for anybody who's working on something in their lives that they're trying to bring about, you know, they've been working for some time on a particular project or something they're trying to envision and bring into being, this is a good time for that. It might
well,
be especially...
Right. Regardless
right.
of when you were booked, is what you're saying.
Okay. Yes. But, you know, I recently wrote a blog about this, and one of the things I was talking about is because of the... 12-year cycle of Jupiter, the 28-year cycle of Saturn, people who are having birthdays this year, even of that age, this is a very good time frame for them. And one of the people that jumped to mind for me was this young fellow who just came in second in the Tour de France. His name is Quintara, and his last name. He won not only second place, but he was king of the mountain, meaning he did the best time and points on the high mountain trails, and also he got the white jersey for the best rider 25 and under. So, I mean, he got sort of like triple honors, and he is 23 and a half, and his birth Jupiter position had the cycle come around, and Jupiter came back to that like 2 days before the Tour de France started.
So what do you do about people now? I know you told me you really take this seriously, obviously. You're an astrologer. You've been
mm-hmm.
And you do charts for people, deep charts, where you really analyze exactly the time and place of birth and all of that. But what do you do? I also know you have a book, a calendar, that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you reconcile like what the horoscope we read in the newspaper with what you do in terms of those give you very vast generalizations, I guess.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I always tell people when I give them a reading is I let them know what is their rising sign. And that comes from your minute of birth, and it's dependent on the location and the time of year and all.
That? People don't know exactly what time.
Yeah. It's nice to try to find that out, because if you do know your rising sign, that's kind of the starting point of the whole circle of the chart, and you read the horoscope for that sign, and unless you're born around sunrise, it's a different sign than your sun sign. And you'll find that where the moving planets are, they line up with the sort of departments of your life better if you're reading by that particular sign's horoscope.
Well,
in general...
you and says, I don't know exactly when I was born.
Right.
I know the date of birth, but I don't know exactly. Some people don't even know
correct.
When they were born. Most people do.
Right.
They don't know the time.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Do
when
do
I don't know the time, I give them what I call a sunrise chart. I put the sun at the rising point and read the chart from there. And even if you do know your birth time, there is some validity to doing that. And that would then be read your horoscope of the sign you already do. But, yes, when you know your exact time of birth, you get a lot more of a detailed and accurate forecast. It's kind of like what we talk about in computers, garbage in, garbage out, or accuracy in, accuracy out. So it gives you a chance to, you know, do the timing factors more precisely for a person. So you can have your own individual chart, but what I do with my annual Janet's Planets calendar is it's sort of like the cosmic weather report, and you wouldn't even have to look at your chart to go with it. You could, but you wouldn't have to, because it's going to be talking about, you know, what's the general energy of the day. Like if we went back and looked at the day that the young prince was born, well, we would know it was a full moon, and we might know some other things about this, you know, grand triangle that I was talking about. But I'll be addressing that to people as to how can you use the energy of this week, how can you use the energy of today to your own advantage, no matter what your sign is. You know, if it's going to rain, it rains for everybody. If it's going to rain, you want to know ahead of time, so you bring your umbrella.
Right. So that's the overall, what the planets are doing, it doesn't really matter what sign you were born under.
Correct. But if you want to take it a step further, like you and I were talking before we went on air, and I won't say a lot about, you didn't tell me your year of birth or anything, but you told me you're a Pisces. So I would say, well, Neptune is the ruling planet of Pisces. So this big triangle is possibly going to be nicer or more important for people who are Pisces or people who are Capricorns, because Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. That's another planet in the triangle. And the other one is Jupiter, and that's in charge of Sagittarius. So those three signs are having a bang-up extra good time. And you know what's funny? Kate Middleton, the mother, is a Capricorn, and boy, she just had a bang-up big time because she gave birth to a future king, and she was born a commoner.
Absolutely. Well, it was funny because in the hospital, I guess all the babies that were born around that same day or day before, day after, were saying, well, if they were daughters, maybe this will be, you know, they're trying to make a match.
Already.
There was one American couple who were living in London. I said, fat chance on that one. That's not going to happen, I don't think.
Well, you never know. Yeah, I was looking at things in his chart that talked about, you know, what he would look for in a marital partner, and it said somebody who's very intelligent, who he can talk to about all kinds of things. He may actually even have an interest in astrology. I'll be waiting to see if that happens because of in his learning and sort of house of mental activities. It has the sign Aquarius there, which is, of course, the sign of astrology. But he has a particular asteroid there that is definitely associated with marriage called Juno, named for the wife of Jupiter. And he has also very close to that another asteroid that's from the Muse of Song and Dance. And I said, wouldn't it be funny? And that's the school area, too. I said, wouldn't it be funny if he meets somebody in school who is sort of into song and dance, and that's who he ends up falling in love with and marrying. So I'll be keeping my eye out on that.
So an entertainer breaking into the royal family.
It could be somebody who does that as a hobby, not necessarily professionally.
Well, they probably would have to relegate it to a hobby if she was.
Oh, God, yes. I bet. But, you know,
what would happen if he was gay? Is that a possibility? What would happen if we never had a gay, you know, gay mate? That would be interesting.
I don't know if we know. There probably have been gay royals. I'm sure there have.
In general,
the factors that I find that indicate gayness are not connected to, like, the ruler of relationship house for him or the ruler of lover house. So I would say I doubt very much that he would be gay.
They're probably relieved about that because that would make it complicated,
yes.
I guess.
But, you know, here he was born almost at the cusp of Leo, which Leo is the sign that's most about royal and regal. And yet he was born in Cancer, which is the sign about family and tradition and home and mom. And he's going to really have one foot in each world. He'll be in that sort of very spotlighted royal position, but I bet he's going to be spending a lot of time with his mother's family, which are just regular people. Well, regular self-made millionaires.
They're already doing that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Would say, okay, getting back to this gay thing, I just want to make a comment that, you know, we don't know. We're saying they would be relieved because it's not traditional, but, you know, things are changing so much that by the time he gets of age, should that happen, or any other
right.
future royal, you know, things have changed so much in the world and what's accepted. So who knows? It's just fascinating.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, his future is planned for him in so many ways that other people's futures are not.
Right,
say,
almost.
It's a pretty nice royal future, pretty cushy, but, you know.
But you're almost a prisoner.
I was going to say, other people think it's like a gilded cage, yeah.
Right, you're almost a prisoner of your position because you can't really step outside of certain bounds. And his moon sign, Capricorn, is very much about boundaries, and his mother, being a Capricorn, is going to teach him those. So, yeah. There was
an
interesting...
So how long does it take you to do this chart? Give me your inside baseball about what it takes to do this, because obviously there's a lot of work involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, a lot of the hard mathematical calculation part the computers do for us nowadays. So it's not like when I started astrology in the 70s and you had to calculate with tables and things like that. And I knew people used a slide rule, but I never liked that. But once I have that chart pop up, which only takes a few seconds once you put in the birth data, that's when I start looking deeper at things like timing factors, bringing the chart forward in time over the course of, you know, many years, looking to see what kind of things are going to develop. For instance, he has some interesting time starting from about age 6 or 7, probably throughout his teen years, where this big triangle that's in the sky this week is going to be reflected. There's something we use called progressions, which means each day after your birth rolls out into a year of your life. So we're now a week past his birth, so we would be looking like 7 days after his birth in the list of where the planets move is his 7th year. And going forward from there, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, maybe even more, this pattern is in place that is giving him a lot of, you know, it's sort of like good things fall right into your lap with this pattern.
Well, so. A lot of good things already fell into his lap, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Just but, by you know, his birth.
But it's not 100% picnic. You know, there's also a couple of sort of rotten planets at play right now that have a lot to do with big changes in economic things. And so it won't surprise me if once he's even king, he presides over times that have a lot of economic turbulence, just like the times that he's born into.
So it won't affect him personally because obviously they're born into a cushy arrangement. But
well,
it may affect the way
yes and no. Who knows? Because if, you know, England went really broke in 50 or 100 years, which we don't know, they may say, oh, we can't support the royals. And he's not really super suited to be a career guy in his chart. I mean, there's one factor.
They do have a little... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's one factor that says he may be sort of low on motivation, which it's fine if you don't ever have to work.
If you don't have to, that's right.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything, honey, so it's okay. You know, there is that little movement afoot that they never really quite caught steam to get rid of the monarchy, but it's a very low percentage of people that want that to happen. And every time something exciting happens, like the wedding a couple of years ago or the birth, an uptick of interest along, you know, in society emerges in England and the UK.
Oh, and they get lots of money from all the souvenirs.
They get lots
souvenirs.
Of money for all the
All that.
All the souvenirs and all the hoopla. So he's already brought in a bunch of money. So he doesn't have to be motivated. He brings the money just by being there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, lucky brain.
But, you know, another thing about Cancer that I should have known he wasn't going to wait for that Leo cusp, because grandmother Diana was also a Cancer. So, you know, you just kind of a lot of times get generational things where it brings in the signs of people who were important in your lineage. Or, for instance, grandfather Prince Charles is a Scorpio, and this new baby Prince George is Scorpio rising. So, again, some of the same sun or rising moon signs coming in that are passed from generation to generation. The Queen Elizabeth, even though she is Taurus, she is a Capricorn rising. So... there we go. Capricorn, Cancer, Scorpio.
She's sticking to her.
Oh yeah, she's not going anywhere. She is steadfast. Yep.
She's a steadfast, tough woman, and they love her, so she shouldn't go anywhere.
Yes.
Now
I didn't do the charts of the parents on the mother's side, so that'll be interesting. I'll have to try to get their birthday to Carolyn Middleton.
As you said, I think they're going to be pretty important in their life because they're spending time with them now, I think.
Oh, yeah, on day two or three of the baby's life, they went there. I think day two. You meet your royal great-grandmother, and then you head to the country into privacy. And I also heard that there's air conditioning at the Middleton's house.
That's nice. Why, there's no air conditioning at the castle?
Well, where they were living at Kensington Palace was in a little two-bedroom cottage on the grounds of the whole palace, but their big palatial suite inside the palace is being renovated. So, no, they were in unair-conditioned.
Oh, dear.
And they were having a heat wave there in England at the time. So
I think that's
why they wanted to get out of town fast.
Really roughing it, as they say. Janet, it's fascinating what you do, and I'm sure you've done charts. Have you done charts for a lot of famous people? Do people come to you? A lot of people come to you, but do you have any famous people?
I don't have famous clients, no. I have regular, everyday people like you and me, and I really enjoy helping people with their normal lives. It's just fun once in a while to look at something like a Royals chart because it's something we can all talk about, and just like we can all talk about the weather. But, you know, I wanted to offer your listeners a special deal if they come to my website, astrologybooth.com, and if they'd like to try my current 2013 Janet's Planets, I have a little inventory I've been trying to get rid of. So when they're checking out, if they enter the coupon AFAN, like I am a fan of astrology, they will get an extra $5 off the already discounted price. So they can check it out for this year, and if they like it, they may want to order next year's when that's available in a couple months.
That's a great, come on, astrologybooth.com is the website. Janet Booth is the guest. It's Janet Planets, P-L-A-N-I-T-S, and it'll help you plan your life around the planets, which is a fascinating and very real thing, I think, in all our lives. We're all interested in it. And Janet, I thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you. Lots of interesting, in-depth stuff that you do that people, you know, don't really know about, because we read the stuff in the newspaper and it sounds like a fortune cookie. But it's
yes.
A lot deeper.
Well, thank you, Amy Beth. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. I hope you keep in touch and come back and see us again.
Okie doke. Bye bye.
Take care. Thank you. Bye bye. It is the end of the.
That dial. We'll be right back after these brief words from our sponsors.
Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee, heavenly coffee, heavenly coffee. Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. Better coffee a millionaire money can't buy.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Mounds don't. Almond Joy's got real milk chocolate, coconut and munchy nuts too. Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewy coconut. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Peter Paul, Almond Joy's got nuts. Peter Paul, Mounds don't.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Do you need an acronym? There's no better place than the Acronym Superstore. For years, government bureaucrats, entertainment entities, and lazy typists have depended on the Acronym Superstore for all of their acronym needs. AA, AAA, U2, JLO, ELO, ELP. We named them here. ER, CSI, C-SPAN, Star Trek TNG. We did those. For years, people struggled with the ungainly Thank God It's Friday. Today, it's TGIF, thanks to the Acronym Superstore. Our helpful experts are behind some of the most popular acronyms today. FYI, AI, BFD, SBD, LOL, ROF, the Acronym Superstore. We named eBay. Don't DIY. For a catchy, memorable acronym, come to the Acronym Superstore. Can we help? You bet your ASS, Acronym Superstore. Come in ASAP. TTFN.
Hey, welcome back. It is the Amy the Third Week Show. 347-857-4505. I'll get you in the next. Take me and join us in a few moments. She's a senior writer from CelebDirtyLaundry.com. Lots of interesting things brewing out in Hollywood and beyond. We'll take a little bit of this Wiener business. Anthony Wiener, a.k.a. Carlos Danger, running for mayor. He's still hanging in the race despite all these new sexting allegations that have come out that he's admitted to and confirmed. Very cavalier, he said, hey, you know, it's no big deal. It's 5 to 10 or 6 to 10 new people, no big deal, no, nothing to see here. His campaign manager did quit over the weekend. We should say Bob Filner out in San Diego also having a similar problem. Well, different. It's a sexual harassment scandal. He has apparently harassed a lot of women who he's worked with. He is not resigning, though, even though I think 70% of San Diegans want him to resign. He is going away for 2 weeks for treatment. I'm not sure what sexual harassment treatment looks like, what it is, and why these guys just don't go away. They don't get it. It's like we're having a national therapy session with these problems. Clearly they have problems. Look, I have a background in psychotherapy and counseling. It seems like compulsions. It seems like obsessions. There's a certain personality. Very often it's driven to public life. Not everybody, but certain politicians clearly have a sense of ego, maybe an overinflated sense of self or an underinflated sense where they need to fill that void. That may be the case with Anthony Weiner. I mean, look at this guy. He was in public life his entire career. I think he's like 50 now. Started out of college, became the youngest city councilman, then went on to Congress for years where he did pretty much nothing except make a lot of noise. He passed one insignificant bill during his tenure in Congress, 12 years, I believe. Fought a lot with people on Fox News, so he became a darling of the left, even though he's not really as progressive as he claims. And poor Umad Abedin hitched her star to this guy. She, of course, Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman. She was a rising star herself. She stands by her man, which is certainly her right. But hey, that's right for your marriage. Is he right for New York? Should he stay in the race? You see, I have a feeling that he actually should stay in the race. I'll tell you why. Just so that he can get his clock clean. Let the voters come out and say no can do. People who want him to get out of the race, are they afraid that the voters will actually vote for him and say, we'll give him another chance? Or don't tell me New York Times, don't tell me Daily News, Wall Street Journal, who I should vote for. That may be like, he's hoping for that backlash, that the voters will think, hey, give him a chance, he's a real guy, he's for us. The trouble is he really for anybody? He's got a brash New York attitude, which is great. I mean, people like Michael Bloomberg and Rudy Giuliani, like him or loathe him, Ed Koch, had that kind of New York charisma. I got it. But don't we have that in Christine Quinn or maybe Bill Thompson or Del Bassio? There's other people running who really have some kind of chops when it comes to politics in New York City. It's not like there's – I heard somebody say, well, there's a very weak field. There's a weak field in terms of people having name recognition and being larger-than-life charismatic figures perhaps. But in terms of service to New York and being able to get things done, I would say Christine Quinn, she's kind of this tough New York broad, if you will. She's really been pretty savvy running the city council. I would give her a shot. Now, she rubs some people the wrong way. Some people don't like her for whatever reason. Pick one of these other guys. There's a lot of people running, some of whom I haven't heard of. But any of one would be better than Weiner just because he has name recognition. To me, not so much. You know, that's not really the only thing to go for, as they say. Anyway, let's shift gears, 347-857-4505. We're going to get into the celebrity realm with Kate Meehan. She is the senior writer at CelebDirtyLaundry.com. I think this may be her. I hope so. Hey, Kate, is that you?
It's me.
Hey, Kate, thanks so much for joining us. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're doing well. We're happy to have you here. Lots of things brewing in the celebrity scandals. What do you know about the latest in Amanda Bynes and her parents? I know they've been looking to get maybe a conservatorship over her.
Yes, they have. They actually went to court and went before the judge last week to attempt to get that, which basically would give them control over her finances. And it was shot down at the end of last week.
Really?
So, yeah, it actually was shot down. So at this point, Amanda is still in the hospital. I think her 5150, which is a psychiatric hold, has been extended for about 2 weeks at the very least. And she is trying to get out, and her parents are doing everything in their power to keep her in because obviously she needs some serious help.
Yeah,
and their whole standpoint.
I was just going to say, we're not sure if she's schizophrenic or bipolar or something. But it's something they turned it down. I'm wondering, do you know why? Because I know Britney Spears' father did the same thing and got the conservatorship.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It honestly, the reason that it was turned down was just kind of whitewashed over. It doesn't make sense. And at this point, it just looks like a clear-cut opportunity where they had to actually intervene and help her. The parents have said, and they produced the documentation to show that they have gotten medical bills for her plastic surgery. They could prove that she's withdrawn $100,000 at a clip a couple times over. So they could prove, you know, that she's not spending her money wisely, and the bills are adding up, and still they were not given control.
Well, I'm wondering what's wrong with that judge, because it seems like she is, you know, it's not a question of controlling her for life, it's a question of really trying to help her, and she clearly needs help. There's no, you know, I don't think anybody can refute that at this point, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, she's had some, quote, friends that have gone into her house to party, and they've taken photos and, of course, turned around and sold the photos to the press. So we do know that she's doing some sort of drugs. We do know that she likes her weed. I mean, it's been photographed, it's been documented, but that's not her issue here. You know, some people have tried to say, oh, well, drugs will do this to you. Well, but that's not the underlying cause, clearly. And her parents have said before she moved to New York months ago, she was having issues when she was living with them. She was covering up light switches, and she was covering up, you know, anything that she thought was a listening device, and she was hearing voices. So there were signs of something seriously wrong with her long before she moved to New York City on her own. So it's starting to look like another opportunity where this poor girl could actually get some serious help, and it's just a matter of watching to see whether or not they're going to drop the ball or if they're actually going to help her.
She needs needs it. It's hard. It's very hard to watch it as a public display, I'm sure, for her parents and for her later on when she is, you know, more lucid, to realize what she went through in the public eye, because people look at it, you know, it's like we see celebrities' downfalls and some of these political scandals. It becomes like a national therapy session. We're all watching. We're all looking. It's voyeuristic. I mean, it's interesting. We're talking about it, obviously, because it is interesting, but I feel bad for them because it's such a horrible thing to have to go through. And a lot of people go through this who are not famous. And certainly, it shouldn't. I'm not saying it should be easy for somebody to get conservatorship over their adult children, but if there's a clear pattern of mental illness, they really should be able to do it. So I don't know what's going on with that judge, but let's wish her the best and hope that works. What do you know? I know on your website you have a couple of interesting stories that caught my eye. One that stood out was perhaps George Clooney is kind of a snooze in the bedroom. Is this true, that Stacey Keibler said he was too old to have fun anymore? Is that what you're getting?
Well, you know what? First of all, there is an expiration date on Stacey Keibler the moment he started dating her. You know, the George Clooney pattern is solid, and he dates them for a year and totally fawns on these women and wins them over. And by the time they start creeping up on, you know, a year and a half, they start thinking, wow, maybe I've changed him. Maybe it's the real deal. He's going to put a ring on it. And at that point, he starts to go, oh, God, you know, and starts to back off. So,
what's the deal with these women? They have to know, right? I mean, look, I know it's George Clooney. I'm not poo-pooing that fact, but everybody knows he's just not in it for the long haul. He's made that clear.
Yeah, you know what I think it is? I mean, as a woman in real life, I think a lot of us have been captivated by, at some point or other, that charming guy. And sometimes they're just so charming, and maybe you're at a point in your life where you need or want to believe everything, and you know, you're kind of invested in it and you're hoping it's true, and you completely ignore the women that have come before you that warn you, because usually these guys do come with a big warning tag and a whole string of women saying, oh no, don't go there. And for some reason, even in real life, we see friends do it all the time where, you know, this guy is trouble, you know, he's not going to commit, and she's there anyway, and it always ends the same. And George is one of those guys. So on the flip side, the women inevitably, they either shut their mouths and say nothing, or they kind of come out swinging. And Stacey's done a bit of the swinging. You know, she's got to say something to kind of save face, too, because you don't just want to be dropped. You want to make it look like you had a reason yourself to walk away, especially when you're in the public eye. You don't want to look like the girl that was dropped on her face and abandoned and dumped, clearly. You want to look like you had a reason to leave yourself. Even if emotionally you don't feel that way, it still plays better in the press.
So what is she saying about George, that he's kind of a loser in the sack?
We've heard that. We've heard that, you know, she just was never in it for the long haul. We've heard that he's a snooze in bed, that their lifestyles are different. We've heard that he wouldn't go to the gym with her, which was a big deal. And their lifestyles, if you put them side by side, they are very different. You know, she's kind of still the party girl, and she's a gym rat, and she wants to go out, and George is a homebody, and he wants to be at home, or he wants to be in Italy, or he wants to just be hanging with that close group of friends. He's past the point where he wants to be in a club on the weekends, and Stacey still wanted to be there.
That's the problem with these guys who go after these women that are so much younger. It's like Billy Joel's problem with his third wife, right? I mean, wasn't she like 25, 30 years younger than him? And the same thing, they broke up because he wanted to stay home and she wanted to go out and party.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do the huge age difference, you really have to be sure that you're on the same page, and you really have to be sure that those interests are the same, or inevitably, the glitz and the sex and everything else, it's eventually going to wear off, and then you're sitting with somebody that you don't have anything in common with. So if it's not rooted in, you know, common likes and common things right from the get-go, it's not going to get any better when all the glitz and glamour and fun stuff wears off.
It even wears off with somebody like George Clooney, gals. Believe it, it's true. Anyway, so speaking of exes getting together, it looks like, and not to getting back together, but meeting for the first time in a long time. Your site also had an article about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt maybe meeting up at the Toronto Film Festival. Is it true that they haven't really been face-to-face in all these years? That's hard to believe.
Well, you know, they haven't been publicly face-to-face ever. Like, they've never had that run-in. And at this point, the thing is, Brad has clearly moved on and he's built this life, and Jen always seems stuck. You know, she's always dating somebody, but she always seems like she's treading water. Yeah, she's always treading water. And you kind of have to look at her at some point and go, okay, it must be her. What is it? And when you take a step back and you look at her and you look at her life, it must be really difficult to see yourself in the press connected to your ex-husband who you split from almost 10 years ago. That's got to suck. I mean, that has to be really hard to never get past that past relationship because other people won't let you. So at this point, they do both have films premiering at the film fest. And maybe if they do show up, and maybe if they do come face-to-face, and maybe if Jen, even if she has to fake it, makes it look to the press like they're on good terms and it's old news and everything is okay, maybe then the public will kind of let her move on, and maybe the scrutiny won't be so tough on her. So it might actually be a good thing. You know, they've avoided that run-in, but I just don't think it's done her any favors.
So maybe it'll help to get over that hump. But it also would help if she got herself a relationship and that worked. That might help too, right? I mean, because with someone engaged, it always just fizzles. So there is some, whether she might just have bad luck, let's face it. We've all been down that road, so I'm not casting aspersions on her. But that might definitely help to get over that hump because Brad obviously has moved on, has a relationship with Angelina Jolie that has lasted and is obviously working, at least for now. So, you know. That might help her, but we'll see what happens. Speaking of imploding relationships, Bethany Frankel, the former New York housewife turned skinny girl mogul, and her new talk show is about to premiere in earnest. I know it had a debut last summer. She's in the midst of this horrible divorce with Jason Hoppe, and apparently one of her assistants also left. Did she have a hissy fit? What happened? What was the big cause of the brouhaha on the set of the talk show?
Well, you know what it is? There's a ton of stress on that whole talk show. The whole everybody involved with it is under the gun. She is directly competing with Kris Jenner, and Kris Jenner's show is off to the left and totally tanking. So she has to kind of outstep the other reality person that has a bomb show
I didn't even know Kris Jenner was having a talk show, so.
Exactly. Right. It's doing horribly. It's in a test market, but she can't get guests because while she's all over the tabloids, Hollywood does not respect or like Kris Jenner. So she's having a hard time filling the seat on the couch. And she's having a horrible time, but these two women have been kind of pitted against each other in terms of the new talk show war. So Bethany has the pressure of that. She has this divorce, which, you know, back in December when she and her husband were splitting up, they came out, and of course they said, we're going to make it amicable for the sake of our daughter, which is what everybody said.
By the way, who could have seen that divorce coming, right? I mean.
Oh, I know, right? If you watched the show for a hot minute, you saw that one coming.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it was more shocking that they got married and that she had a baby rather than the fact that they couldn't, you know, get it together. They're totally different. You know, he's the homebody and she's 100% work-oriented, which is fine, but put those people together and it's going to be really hard. And then put a camera in their faces and forget it.
He wants custody of the baby now, right?
He does. It is ugly. It's a total court battle between the two of them. They both want full custody. They both want the property that they're both still living in. They're still living together in the same penthouse. Neither of them will move out because they're both saying it's theirs. So that's left in the judge's hands, too. He's still wearing his ring just because it spites her. So it is beyond pretty amicable. It's like as ugly as it can possibly be. And she's just spinning out and lashing out at everybody around her because there's no comfort zone. You know, home isn't a comfort zone. She locks herself in her bedroom to get away from him. The talk show is just, it's a ton of stress just because any new project and, you know, that new baby and that new work thing that you're building, it's stressful. So she's got stress there. She's got stress in the personal life. And nobody is safe because Bethany has a temper on top of it. So the assistants are hearing about it and being lashed out at. The friends, the family, nobody is safe from the wrath of her right now.
So who was the one who quit? Was it the one that used to be on the reality show, her assistant?
I'm blanking on her name, but it looked like the same girl that was on her reality show when she was about to get married to Jason. It looked like the blonde sidekick, who was a very good friend of hers. So when your good friends are bailing out on you, you know you're in trouble. You got to tone it down.
It's too bad the reality, as horrible as it sounds, it would be fascinating to watch it. I hate to say that, being, you know, I'm against the voyeurism, but on the other hand, you can't help but watch it, because this would be one great season of that reality show. All I know is when that show was on, I watched a little bit of it, I would say, this is not going to help their marriage, because when their marriage was having trouble during the show, it was like, you know, that's why a lot of these reality show marriages go belly up anyway. Maybe they already had problems, but certainly putting the camera on and watching it 6 months later with the whole blogosphere as the Greek chorus doesn't help.
Well, you know, it is, too. It's so hard, you know, being married and knowing how you work through your issues. And thankfully, I mean, mine is good, but I can only imagine, you know, you have those issues. And if you can't communicate openly and honestly, you're in trouble. And it has to, even if you're used to doing a reality show, it has to be really hard to put those bare issues on the table to discuss them if there's a camera 5 feet away. Like, that would make anybody shut down, and nothing gets resolved that way. So when you see problems on camera, you could only imagine what's going on when the camera stops rolling, or what would be going on if there wasn't a camera there in the first place.
But then when they show the actual show, it's several months later at least. So if you have resolved it already, now you're going to relive it with the whole world watching it. And that's also
exactly
not helpful, yeah.
Exactly, and that's when the
show.
And that's when the press gets their hands on it then and makes it all flare up, and then inevitably probably spins it into something bigger than it was in the first place too.
Exactly.
So you dealt with the original problem, but now you have to do all kinds of damage control on what people are now saying it was in the first place.
But since they're already getting divorced and in the midst of all this, we can't save the marriage anymore. It would be fun to watch them do it.
Yeah.
That's mean-spirited, I shouldn't say. Now, there's also some shakeups going on at The View. It looks like, well, we know that Hasselbeck is out and Jenny McCarthy is signed in for September. We know Joy Behar is taking her swan song, I guess, at the end of this month, or whenever they leave for summer vacation. And there's some rumor that Hoda Kotb might be taking her place, which is interesting. Does that mean Hoda is going to drop Kathy Lee on the fourth hour of the Today Show like a hot potato, or can she scramble over from the Today Show to 11 o'clock into The View?
You know, I've heard flip-flopping things on that. I've heard that Hoda is going to be replacing Joy, and then I've heard that Joy is actually hopping over to replace Hoda with Kathy Lee. So I don't know how that's going to actually shake out, but I do know that the chances of being able to do both networks is slim to none. So clearly there's talks going on somewhere.
Yeah, I was kidding about that. But I didn't hear about Joy going over to take over for Hoda. That would be interesting.
I did see that this morning, yes, and supposedly there's an offer on the table, so we'll have to see how that comes down.
I was kind of hoping they would let Joy stay because she's one of the more palatable people on The View. I don't know why they gave her the boot. It's clear they did. It wasn't her decision. I mean, she pretended it was, but
right.
It clearly wasn't.
Exactly.
I don't know if her Q rating went down or whatever they figure it out over there, but Hasselbeck, I think, is probably easier to replace than Joy would be.
I think they need the fun, too, that Jenny McCarthy will bring to that table.
Yes.
You need a little bit of levity and a little bit of fun. And, you know, Hasselbeck is so uptight, for lack of a better word, and just so conservative and so restricted. I'm being nice here. So restricted in the way she carries herself that Jenny, I think, will be a breath of fresh air.
Well, Hasselbeck is over at Fox News, where she belongs, I guess. But, of course,
right.
They could get slack that they don't really have a conservative commentator. I mean, there was some talk about Meghan McCain joining the table, and that would be another cringe factor moment for me, just because of the way she comports herself. But I don't know. What do you know about that? Is there pressure for them to come up with a right-wing type?
I don't think so. I don't really think that there is. I think that slant over the years has worn thin, and I think they were looking to totally spin away from it completely. You know, they don't necessarily want the clear-cut conservative take at this point in time. They might want somebody that's a little more balanced, that isn't going to just think from what side of the fence they're on, and that's going to, like, logically think things out and actually contribute something that you might not expect. Because if you're always coming from the same side, well, we know what you're going to say. We know what your stance is going to be because we know where it's rooted. If it's somebody that's kind of in the middle, that's more of a wild card, and ultimately that would be much more interesting and entertaining to listen to.
Well, that's why Whoopi does so well, because Whoopi, we know she's
right.
Pretty liberal, but sometimes she doesn't, you know, she'll throw you a curve. I mean, that's what makes her interesting, besides the other part of her personality, and on top of it, and the funniness. But we'll see. I guess they need a little bit of shakeup, but I don't know that Joy was the one who needed to go, but we'll see what happens. What do you know about scandals making their way to Hollywood movies? When you see some of these scandals brewing, you know it's going to be a Lifetime movie tomorrow. For example, the Anthony Weiner scandal. I'm sure, I'm thinking Adrian Brody might do Anthony Weiner. What do you think about that? That's my pick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who would you pick for Uma Abedin?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel I'm very on the fence with her, so I'd be very particular about who played her.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
know.
Interesting
I can't
that
even...
You usually get an upgrade. Have you noticed? I mean, they usually will look better
yeah.
than the person they're playing. I mean, there was this woman. I don't know if you're familiar with this case, Andrea Snyderman in Georgia. She's suspected of murdering her husband or being part of it. Now they dropped the murder charges, but she's still going on trial for perjury. Her former boss and possible lover did commit it, and he's already has been convicted. And she was quoted while she was in jail as saying, well, I wonder who's going to play me in the movie. And she said, Sandra Bullock will be good, but she's a little too old. And if you put the picture side by side, You saw it? You put them side by side. You're like, well, she's a little older than you, but she's a lot better looking, too.
It's true. They usually go for the most attractive person possible that could be sort of, if you're squinting, a representation of the person.
Right. So, you know, it's funny, though, that people think about their lives, the way that we live our lives today with everybody, you know, just so media crazy and so savvy about social media and everything else, where people are in the middle of a scandal and they're actually thinking about who's going to be the person in their movie. I mean, that's got to say something about you psychologically, I would think.
I would think you're right. Yeah, that really does say something about the way you're wired upstairs and what, you know, how you're actually digesting the situation that you're sitting in.
Yeah, what are your priorities here? Yeah, who's going to blame me in the movie? So, yeah, so no word on Sandra Bullock. She hasn't signed on for that, I guess, yet. She hasn't responded to Andrea Seidelman's claims. No. Okay. Any other good news that we should be looking for this week, Kate, before we let you go? What's brewing that we should know about?
I just lost you. I'm sorry.
Oh, do you hear me now?
There we go. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. What are the, anything, any big stories brewing that we should know about that you have the inside scoop on?
There's stuff coming out, and God, I hate discussing the Kardashians. I wish they would all just fall off a cliff collectively in a car, you know, face down, 100-foot drop, you know. But anyway, Kris Jenner.
That's pretty harsh, Kate. I guess you've been doing a lot of overtime coverage on them.
It's harsh, but you know what? The thing is, I'm a fan of being the first one to say something. You know, if it's what everybody's thinking, I will find a tactful way usually to put it out there. And so as I say that, I'm sure a million people would line up behind me and are shaking their head saying, yep, we're over it.
Definitely.
But anyway, Kris Jenner. But Kris Jenner has kind of outdone herself in the bad mother department in the last couple of days. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians was on last night, and Brody Jenner, who is the 28-year-old son of her husband, Bruce Jenner, was on a family trip with them all. They all went to Greece. And there was this whole scene with her slathering SPF sunblock all over her stepson's body, to where her kids were like, Mom, that's so inappropriate. Mom, that's disgusting. But this comes on the heels of us hearing about how she got completely sloshed, and Kris is a heavy, heavy drinker. If you watch the show, you've seen her on the floor, you've seen her under tables, you've seen her falling over her own feet.
I haven't seen her.
So you're lucky. But at any rate, it's not something that's hidden, but last week she was hitting on Kanye West and, you know, dirty dancing with him right in front of her daughter Kim, who is with Kanye. So this woman in the last week has really kind of, you know, dropped a little lower than she already was in terms of having no respect for other family members and, you know, getting a little too friendly with the guys connected to her family. And, you know, no wonder Bruce Jenner moved out. That's all I can say. No wonder
And no wonder she can't find anybody to put on her talk show now either, right?
Exactly.
She can't go to Kanye.
And can you imagine being her daughter? I mean, I can't imagine being her grown daughter and watching my mother act like this. It's got to be horrific. They have to put a positive spin on everything because that's what the Kardashians do. But it has to be horrific to watch your mother like that with your man or with your stepbrother or whatever. It's horrible.
Well, how can you put a positive spin on it when you're having a reality show which exposes all this nonsense? So there's no positive spin to it. People can see it. We watch you. We see you. You know, that's not. I don't see how that works.
Well, you and I see that there's no positive spin on it. But to Kris, you put a positive spin on it. If people are noticing, therefore it's more money in the bank, which is her version of the positive spin. You and I look at it and are like, okay, that's disgusting. That's not something you do. That's inappropriate. We put it in its appropriate place and walk away shaking our heads, you know. But
I guess that's why
the
reality show stars and some of these politicians have a lot in common. They have no threshold for shame. They just get out there, do whatever they want. I will say I did watch a little bit of the New Jersey Housewives last night. I said this season I wasn't watching. I was done, but I've been sucked back in. And
how could you not watch the retreat?
I watched part of the retreat, but they all got along, and it was so disappointing. I'm like, well, where's the big – so now I got to wait for next week when Teresa has the blowout with Jacqueline. So there you go. See, that's the problem with these shows. We're wanting them to not get along. We're looking for the toxicity and the acrimony, whereas if you watch a movie, you're not looking for that. You want the happy ending, but you don't really want that so much in these shows. So I don't know who they're helping. They help their bank account, I guess, and for them that's good enough, and they get their faux fame minute. But as Susie Orman would say, nothing lasts forever. I hope they're saving some of that reality show bucks because – they're going soon, I hope. I keep saying that, but they still come back. Kate, it's a pleasure speaking and coming back. I hope you come back and join us. It's Kate Mann, senior writer at CelebDirtyLaundry.com. Get all the scoops there, and I hope you had enough fun to come back again. Okay, Kate?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. We're in the know now when it comes to the scoops. We've lightened things up a bit. Get in the mix here, 347-857-4505. It's the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Orange and yellow and purple and green, the lights of the city at night set in the scene. Stumble through the bars on forget-me-not lane. Sparkle through the glitter, but don't show the pain.
Hollywood to the mailbag we go. We have our little mailbag drop, Trudy? I guess not. Anyway, we've been neglecting you guys the last couple of weeks because we've had so many heavy-duty shows. But people say that I'm the Pied Piper of crazy. Indeed, I have had a couple of those shows. I want to thank a lot of folks for joining in. We have some of our journal challengers, by the way. If you want to get involved in the journal, get yourself one of those old-fashioned school notebooks, you know, the pen and paper kind. Start writing 20 to 30 minutes. In the morning or the evening, your choice. Some folks are doing both. And see what works for you. See what it jumpstarts. I've got some fascinating calls. It's not just for writers, it's for all kinds of creative folks who want to inspire themselves and get them going in the right way. I had a girl, Sonia, out in California, who wrote in and said, you know, I'm a songwriter and I play with a band, and this actually is, the journaling has given me impetus to start writing my own songs again. Way to go, Sonia. I'm so happy to hear it. Keep us posted. Lonnie in Connecticut said, I am using the journal to inspire me. I'm not a writer. I'm a visual artist, but actually writing about my thoughts and my dreams and putting them on paper has helped me with my painting and my pottery. So there you go. There are different ways to use it. So I'm very pleased that folks are doing it, and a lot of other writers as well have been checking in. Casey, thank you for joining us. Chad, Charlotte again, thanks for checking in. Really do appreciate the kind words. Also got some other fan letters of sorts. Folks enjoying a lot of the shows that we've been doing lately and some of the issues. Did get one. I'm not sure if it's a fan letter. Eddie said, hey, Amy Beth, I love your show. Used to listen to you on WGCH in Connecticut. Glad to find you again. But make up your mind. Are you giving creative inspiration, or are you taking on issues and politics? Social issues and politics. Eddie, I'm doing both. Because you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Although not on the radio. Both are ill-advised. Chewing gum, verboten. Walking might make you out of range. But anyway, you know what I mean. We're doing both at the same time. Maybe not at the exact same moment. But it's all about story here. That's what this show is about. Everyone has a story. What's your story? And the stories that are in front of us every day with celebrities and politicians and social issues are all part of it. But we also love to talk to writers and filmmakers. It just all comes together in different ways. So I hope you understand that, and I hope we'll dedicate different shows to different topics and different things. And I'm so happy you're joining the forum, and we're happy to have you back. And Marie says, hey, I used to listen to you every day for 4 hours. Are you going daily and longer? I don't think so, Marie. We'll work on the daily at some point, maybe. We're certainly trying to get ourselves twice a week, Mondays and Fridays. It's been Mondays and Fridays, noon on Monday, one on Fridays. I think in September it's going to be all noon, both days. Eastern time, obviously available on demand. That's the beauty of the Internet. The downside is we don't get as many callers as I'd like, as I'm used to on terrestrial radio. Love to get folks in the mix. A lot of people calling in or writing in saying, I can't call in because I can't listen when you do the show live, but I love to listen to it when I can. Like Charlie, who says that. And I'm saying, hey, Charlie, you do it when you can, and I appreciate it. By the way, you can follow the show, The Amy Beth Arkley Show, at the Blog Talk Radio site. You can also follow me on Twitter at AB Writes, and find me at the website, amybetharkley.com. Click on the contact icon if you have any creativity coaching questions, writing questions, or if you have a story to tell. If you're an author, if you're a filmmaker, if you're a musician, a theater person, a social crusader, hey, we are booking now into the fall. We'd love to hear from you. We're also looking for loquacious free thinkers, folks who like to dish the dirt with us, so to speak, celebrities and TV, movies, hot topics in the news. If you're one of those, join us as well and tell us your availability. We'll be back to you. I try to get back to people as soon as I can. Sometimes it takes a couple of days, but believe me, we will. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, the Coffee Clatch Edition, brought to you today in part by Celebrity Cruises and GEICO. And we thank our sponsors, and we thank you. We're going to segue into a little royal, a couple of royal tunes, I think. Tunes of a royal you of sorts. We've taken some license here. We'll get ready. From the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora put this together for us. I'm the Amy Clark. Give a listen.
17,
I'm on that one.
A beauty queen, she made her rise to cause the scene in this town. Her long blonde hair hanging down around her knees, all the cats who district tease. Praying for a little breeze. Her long blonde hair falling down across her arms, hiding all the latest charms. Lady Godiva, she found fame and made her name, a Hollywood director came into town. Said to her, how'd you like to be a star? You're a girl who could go far, especially dressed the way you are. She smiled at him, gave her pretty head a shake. That was Lady D's mistake. Directs certificate X, and people now are craning their necks to see her. 'Cause she's a star, one that everybody knows. Finished with a striptease show, now she can't afford her clothes. Her long blonde hair lying on the barber's floor, never needed long anymore. Lady Godiva. The
version of that song, King of the Road, the Roger Miller classic, done up. New cool vibe with Rufus Wainwright and Titty Thompson. Also, Peter and Gordon's Lady Godiva as our song for the Royal U roll on. We're in overtime again. They put me more time again. Trudy and Aurora and the gang at TCS. ML, cracking the whip. It is the Amy Beth Arkowee Show. Still time to call in at 347-857-4505. Billy Van Classic. Royal Scan.
radio on, turn your radio on, and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on, turn your radio on, heaven's glory share, heaven's glory share. Turn your lights down low, turn the lights down low, and listen to the master's radio.
Get in touch with God,
turn your radio on, turn your radio on.
Playing with the Queen of Hearts.
originally the new prince, Prince George Alexander Louis, Prince of Cambridge, according to our young astrologer, Jennifer, will not be the king of England. We have an interesting and happy life, we hope. We wrap things up, our little royal tribute there. Also, Juice Newton, Queen of Hearts, and Steely Dan, The Royal Scam. Thanks to the TCS crew for helping us put together that little royal set. It is the Amy Beth Darkwee Show in overtime mode. A few more minutes as we sashay out of here. Want to give you a programming note coming up on Friday at 1. Joan Stanow Lester will be our guest. She is the author of a fascinating moving novel called Mama's Child, which alternates between the mother's point of view and the daughter's point of view. It's a white mother and an interracial, biracial daughter, and the struggles they have with their racial identity and other things amid the civil rights movement in the 70s. It's fascinating, interesting read, and certainly speaks to a lot of the things we've been talking about recently in what's going on in our culture. So we'll talk with her, also about the transition between nonfiction, she's a nonfiction writer and educator, to now writing novels, and the impact of novels and how that can help transform things and move the stories along in ways that nonfiction sometimes cannot do. We'll talk about that. Inspiration, cultural convo, the whole bit, coming up Friday at 1 Eastern Time. Join us live. Listen anytime on demand. Don't forget to follow the show, the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, on the Blog Talk Radio site. And you can follow me on Twitter, too, at AB Writes, and check out the website, AmyBethArkowitz.com. Oh, and thanks so much for Trudy, Aurora, ML from TCS, and our intern in the booth today, Evie. Thanks for coming out and playing with us. Speaking of playing, did you hear about this golfer, Hunter Mahon? He was poised to win $1 million at the Canadian Open, got a cell phone call from his wife. She said, honey, I'm in labor. He ditched the whole tournament, went off, greeted their daughter several hours later, Zoe Olivia Mahon. So, yes, she's not exactly a $1 million baby, but like all babies, she's priceless, happy, healthy. He tweeted today that he's thankful to his sponsors for understanding what's important, and I guess he's confident enough. You got to like this guy, not only caring about his wife and his baby, but clearly confident enough that he can go out there and win $1 million or more to keep her in the diapers that she will become accustomed to. Congratulations to Hunter and his wife and their new daughter. Have yourself a great rest of the week. I hope you do drive safe, play nice, dream big. Come back on Friday. We'll talk on the Amy Beth Arkley Show here on VTR. Have a great week. Once my number
There you have it, boys. Case closed.
What they mean while they while away the hours in their ivory towers till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Oh, la da da. Talking about you and me and the games people play now. Will we make one another cry? Break a heart and we say goodbye. The hearts that were hoping to die, that the other was to blame. Oh, but neither one will ever give in. So we gaze on an 8 for 10, thinking about the things that might have been. And it's a dirty, rotten thing. Oh, la da 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 da. Try to sock it to you in the name of the Lord. They're gonna teach you how to meditate, read your horoscope, teach your faith. For the most the hell with hate. Come on, get on board. Oh, la da 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 da. Talking about you and me, the game we were playing. Now wait a minute, look around, tell me what you see. What's happening to you and me? God grant me the serenity to just remember who I am. Oh, cause you're giving up your fantasy for your pride and your vanity. Turn your back on humanity. Oh, and you don't give a to my baby once more.